Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. As we begin our studies in the book of Nehemiah, it's important to understand the historical setting of the events recorded in this book of Scripture. Then we can better appreciate the spiritual lessons and principles that God wants us to learn from this book of Scripture. So let's begin with a few significant background notes. First of all, the events in the book of Nehemiah are late in Old Testament history. In fact, they're near the close of the Old Testament period. They cover about 15 years from 445 BC to about 430 BC. The nation of Israel had been a united kingdom under the kings Saul, David, and Solomon. That was ballpark figure about 1000 BC. Remember, Solomon had built the beautiful temple in Jerusalem. After Solomon's reign, the nation was split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, which was still called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. Because both of these kingdoms forsook the law of the Lord, God permitted both of these kingdoms to fall to foreign powers. The northern kingdom of Israel fell in 722 BC to the Assyrian Empire. The southern kingdom of Judah lasted for about 150 more years, but they too fell to the Babylonian Empire in 586 BC. It was at that time, 586 BC, that Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies completely conquered Judah. They broke down the walls surrounding Jerusalem. They destroyed the beautiful temple, and they took the people as captives to Babylon. The people were there, as you know, for 70 years. Then when the Persians conquered Babylon, Cyrus, the Persian emperor, issued a decree, the famous Edict of Cyrus, 539 BC, which permitted the Jewish people to return to their homeland. In 538 BC, about 50,000 Jews returned to Jerusalem under the leader Zerubbabel, and they reestablished a Jewish state under the Persian government. You can read all about this in the book of Ezra. After some years, they finally got their temple rebuilt. It was completed in about 516 BC. It took the motivating ministries of Zechariah and Haggai to stir up the people and urge them to complete the rebuilding of the house of the Lord. We said they did this in about 516 BC. Some years later, in 458 BC, Ezra returned from Babylon with about 2,000 more of the Jewish people. Ezra was a great spiritual leader and was able to draw many of the people closer to the Lord. All of this time, however, Jerusalem was a defenseless city. The walls that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar back in 586 BC, they were still in ruins. Some attempts at rebuilding these walls had been made. You can read about this in Ezra chapter 4, but these attempts were stopped by the Persian authorities. A total of almost 100 years went by from the time that the Jews first returned from Babylon until Nehemiah returned in 445 BC. He then returned to rebuild the walls. All this time, approximately 100 years, the walls were in a state of disrepair. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the Persian king, Artaxerxes I. He was a Hebrew cupbearer, quite an important position, because if ever you wanted to get at the king to assassinate him, what better way than through his food or his drink? So being a cupbearer to the king, the Persian king, was quite a prestigious and important position. While Nehemiah is serving King Artaxerxes in Shushan, or Susa, the Persian capital, Nehemiah hears the sad news of the conditions back in Jerusalem. You can see that there in verses 2 and 3 that we read, that some came from Judah, telling how the gates were burned with fire, the wall was in ruins, there was great distress and reproach there in Jerusalem. Nehemiah's first reaction, as we can see, is to sit down, to weep, to mourn, to fast, and to pray. And God was about to raise up this man, Nehemiah, to return to Jerusalem. He was going to lead the people in rebuilding the walls, but his first reaction is to sit down and with real concern to weep, to mourn, to fast, and to pray concerning the condition in Jerusalem. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move then to doctrinal points. What is God teaching us from the book of Nehemiah? That's what we mean by doctrinal points, teaching points. What is God teaching us? We know there's some teaching for us in the book of Nehemiah. We read in Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So all of these things that were written before in the Old Testament, including the book of Nehemiah, they were written for our learning. So what is God teaching us from the book of Nehemiah? There are spiritual lessons and principles to be learned from this book. As a believer, Nehemiah saw a job to be done, and he stepped out and did it. He stepped out in faith and led the people in rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. So there's bound to be some principles concerning Christian service here, right? Christian leadership principles, Christian service principles, they're bound to be here in the book of Nehemiah because Nehemiah is involved in service for the Lord. He's involved in leadership. But furthermore, the physical wall building in Nehemiah pictures the spiritual wall building that needs to be done in the Christian life. What do we mean by spiritual wall building? Well, you see, walls speak of strength. They speak of stability. They speak even of separation. You're either in the city or you're out of the city when there's a wall there. See, a city with a wall was a strong city. It was a city that could be defended. A city with a wall was a stable city. It didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't just a blur on the horizon. Now you see it, now you don't. It was known and recognized. A city with a wall was a separated city. You were either in or you were not in. There was a clear line of demarcation. God wanted Jerusalem to have a wall, to be a strong city. This was the city of God's temple. Now, do you see the spiritual picture? In the same way, God wants his people today to be involved in spiritual wall building. He wants to see strong Christians, Christians who are able to defend the faith. We read in 1 Peter 3:15 that we're to be able to give a defense concerning the faith to everyone who asks for a reason of our faith. Jude verse 3 says we're to contend earnestly for the faith. God wants us to be strong Christians, Christians that have walls in the sense of able to defend the faith. God wants us to be stable Christians, not basket case Christians, Christians that can help others. You ever notice how some Christians always need help? They're never helping anyone. They're always needing help. They don't have strong spiritual walls. God wants us to be Christians who are stable Christians, able to help others, not flash in the pan Christians. You know, it's so great to be able to see Christians that are stable year in, year out. In a few weeks, I'll be doing a conference that I did about 10 years ago. It's going to be great to see some of those people that were there 10 years ago still going on strong for the Lord. It's not going to be one of these, what happened to that brother? What happened to that sister? Oh, well, they no longer come. They've dropped out. It's great to see Christians who have strong spiritual walls. They're stable. And of course, it does speak of separation as well. We are to have strong spiritual walls in the sense of not being worldly Christians, not being Christians who are governed by the attitudes and values of this world. Do people know that you're a Christian? Do you have strong spiritual walls? You've heard the old expression, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Spiritual wall building can be applied to individuals or families or churches. Remember, every Christian as an individual is the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Furthermore, we together as a church are the temple of the Holy Spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 3:16, the church is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So just as God wanted a strong wall around the city of his temple in that day, God wants to see strong spiritual walls today in our individual lives, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our churches, strong spiritual walls. So I think you can see that there's a lot of doctrinal points to be made in the book of Nehemiah, a lot of teaching here. And that brings us then to our practical application from this section of Nehemiah. Let's put it this way. Our first step in spiritual wall building must be concern. Our first step in spiritual wall building must be concern. Notice that when Nehemiah heard about the broken down condition of the wall in Jerusalem, he wept, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed. You see that in verse 4. He's really concerned. Before the wall could be rebuilt, there had to be real concern. Before spiritual wall building can take place, there must be real concern. Notice, Nehemiah wept and mourned. Have we come to that place? Have we wept about the broken down condition of our wall? Have we wept about the haphazard way in which we keep our own devotions or our family devotions? Have we wept about the sad condition of our church? Or have we just talked about it? Have we just complained? Notice it was for certain days. Nehemiah was weeping, mourning, fasting, praying for certain days. Not just a little stirring of the emotions, like maybe after a Sunday sermon. No, it was for certain days. And notice he fasted. He gave up food. He sacrificed. Now, we could certainly talk about the benefits of fasting today, but let's think of the principle of fasting here. Some of us need to do more fasting as far as from TV, certain reading material, in order to study God's Word more. Are you concerned about your spiritual walls to that extent? Furthermore, Nehemiah prayed. Notice, he wasn't praying about his health or his prosperity or for good weather or his weekend activities. He was praying about the broken down condition of the walls in Jerusalem. No wonder God answered Nehemiah's prayer. There was real concern here. Have we prayed as Nehemiah prayed? Are we concerned about spiritual wall building? Or are we content to live in the midst of broken down walls? Our first step, really, in spiritual wall building must be concern.